He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town." He laughed and kissed his mom and said, "You're Billy Joe's a man. I can..."
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jeffrey Weiner, who's a prominent Florida criminal defense attorney and the former president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and former president of the Florida Criminal Defense Attorneys Association. He is also a former chairman of the Miami-Dade County Bar Association Criminal Courts Committee and of the Academy of Florida Trial Lawyers Criminal Law Section. Jeff Weiner also co-authored the 2010 Federal Criminal Rules and Codes Plus, an important reference source for attorneys and judges throughout the United States. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeffrey Weiner.
Thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
And let's start with some of the reasons why it appears that George Zimmerman was acquitted on all charges. And obviously, there's a lot of people pointing fingers at the prosecution. But Florida is unique in as much as it has only six people on a jury, and that seems to have been the problem, that there was no African-Americans on that jury. There were five white women and one Hispanic woman, I believe. So therefore, there was nobody there to mediate and explain, for example, the testimony of that young woman that was on the phone with Trayvon Martin shortly before he was killed. So do you think the six-person jury and the makeup of it was a big factor?
I don't think the fact that there were six people on the jury was the problem, but I was shocked that it was all women and that there were no people of color on the jury. It was absolutely amazing to me. And the bottom line is both sides got to question potential jurors. They both got to exercise challenges. And apparently both sides were happy with the jury as it was. But as I understand it, the population is about 30% African-American in that county, and yet none were represented on the jury. So it was very, very surprising.
And what I find extraordinary, our previous guest was pointing out, that the jury was not told that Zimmerman was told to stay in his car by the police dispatcher. That seems to be extremely salient information. So how come those jury instructions didn't get through?
Well, because it would have been extraordinarily prejudicial to Zimmerman with very little probative value. And here's why. I think the jurors then might have said, well, gee whiz, Zimmerman didn't listen to the 911 operator who said, just leave it alone, don't go there, leave it to the police. That's not what the crime that he was charged with was all about. And so the feeling was that it would be more prejudicial than probative to allow the jury to consider that, because next thing you know, they go in the jury room and they say, well, gee whiz, he didn't listen to the 911 operator. We have someone who is dead, someone who was unarmed, and therefore the prejudice against Zimmerman would have been overwhelming. So I think that really it was a correct ruling, although it was a technical ruling, but I think it was correct. Do you agree with that?
Well, it would never have happened had he stayed in his car.
Of course, no question.
And I just find it extraordinary, for example, that apparently the law doesn't consider a police dispatcher a lawful law officer, right? In other words, if you disobeyed a lawful order, wouldn't that make you criminally liable? And so if he disobeyed a police dispatcher, that's not the same as disobeying a policeman?
That's correct. That's correct. It's not the same. I mean, the dispatchers are not sworn law enforcement officers. Their training is extraordinarily limited, and that's correct. It isn't. It sounds bizarre, I guess, to some people, but really, they don't have a right to give instructions, although the advice given was great advice, and Trayvon Martin would have been alive had Zimmerman followed that advice. Which is why, frankly, if they came back with a manslaughter guilty verdict, I wouldn't have been shocked. I think it was a close call, and I'm looking forward to hearing what the juries have to say. But please keep in mind that the prosecution overstepped their bounds by charging Zimmerman with second-degree murder. This was never more than a manslaughter case to begin with.
Well, do you think they would have done better had they narrowed their scope and not fired that broadside?
Yes, absolutely right. But the prosecutor, not the ones in court, but the female prosecutor who is the state attorney, is notorious throughout the Jacksonville area for overcharging people. And this was just one more example of that. And I think it was part of a series of fatal mistakes.
Well, how would you compare it? Of course, we here in Los Angeles remember the Simi Valley trial of Rodney King, where the venue was changed to a very police-friendly neighborhood, and that provoked the riot. So that's here in our memory here in Los Angeles. And, of course, the famous case of O.J. Simpson. Now, in terms of O.J. Simpson, there's no question that the prosecution blew it. Did the prosecution blow it here?
I'm not sure that they blew it, because here's the way it works. The state attorney decides the charges, her assistants go in and try the case the way that it's given to them. So I don't think that they blew it. I think that they had very, very difficult facts based on the law. There was almost a built-in reasonable doubt favoring Mr. Zimmerman right from the beginning of this case. Now, of course, if people say, and many do, and I think correctly so, that if it had been the reverse and Trayvon Martin had shot Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin probably would have been held in custody without bond pending his trial. And because of the just inherent racism in the criminal justice system in the United States, which really does exist, I've been a criminal lawyer now for 40 years, and, I mean, it's a fact of life, unfortunately. I think things would have been very, very, very different.
So, again, I'm speaking with Jeffrey Weiner, prominent Florida criminal defense lawyer and former president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Now, in terms of the underlying Stand Your Ground law, which was a part of the jury's instructions, I believe that there is a more nuanced or a broader version of this, and I'm curious to know why, again, there were no instructions in terms of my understanding is that all of the idea of retreating or the capacity to retreat has always been a big factor, that you don't go looking for trouble. But I also understood that the purpose of any of these laws, including Stand Your Ground, is that the person that it's supposed to be protecting and empowering, if that's in the right word, is the victim, not the perpetrator. And again, in this case, it looks in many ways as if the aggressor and the perpetrator was Zimmerman, the guy that got off, and the victim was the guy that should have stood his ground but was unarmed.
Yes, sir. I understand what you're saying completely. It's a great argument. The jury rejected that argument. And, you know, what bothers me is this. And, look, let me be very candid with you. I'm a liberal Democrat, a progressive Democrat. I also believe in the Second Amendment. What bothers me is now that the federal government is supposedly looking into possible civil rights violations and possibly charging Mr. Zimmerman. To my way of thinking, and I wish the president had said, in addition to the excellent comments he made, that this matter is over. The jury heard the case. Both sides really had a fair chance to present whatever evidence and arguments they wanted. The jury has ruled the matter should be over now, both in criminal and civil court, and we should get on with life. I think it's totally inappropriate if the Justice Department charges Mr. Zimmerman with a civil rights violation. Besides, I don't think there's a basis for it. I mean, I just don't see how he will be charged, but the fact that they're looking into it, it really undermines the integrity of the jury system.
But this case was opened a long time ago, well before the trial, wasn't it, the federal case?
Well, I read that it was, and that the feds were just watching to see how this came out. And so what that means to me as a lawyer is if Zimmerman were convicted, the feds wouldn't look into it. Now that Zimmerman was acquitted, now they're looking into it. So I just don't think that that's appropriate. It's not as though the judge was unfair. Both sides really had a lot of leeway in presenting their case to the jurors.
So in terms of, though, again, Jeffrey Weiner, prominent Florida criminal defense lawyer and former president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. In terms of this law, Stand Your Ground, it would seem to me that, you know, I'm having a hard time here because it feels very topsy-turvy if the whole thing's been turned on its head, that you would think that in fact, a previous guest brought up this point, that when you have a situation where you have an armed person and an unarmed person, you would think that the superior capacity to retreat would be on the part of the armed person because
yes.
they're less vulnerable, right?
Makes total sense. Absolutely right. When someone is armed, they have really a moral and, in my opinion, legal duty to de-escalate a situation, to not get in a situation that can escalate. I mean, Zimmerman knew he was armed, and I believe that's the reason he got out of the vehicle. That's the reason he confronted Trayvon Martin, and he knew all the time that with any kind of provocation that he felt was sufficient, that he had that gun and could impose deadly force if necessary. Trayvon Martin had a bag of Skittles.
Well, the other part of it that I find extraordinary, and again, I'm just, you know, don't want to second guess the prosecution on this, but I'm asking you to help me out here a little bit. The core of the case that the defense presented was that Zimmerman had taken a beating, and yet, you know, we're often told that there's no evidence that Trayvon Martin had any abrasions on his fists or anything. So there is, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeffrey Weiner, there is no evidence of what happened there. It's entirely their word against each side, essentially made up what happened because nobody was there. There was literally no witness to the actual moment of leading up to the death and the death itself. So whereas you were saying earlier that a very salient point was never allowed into the jury, which is that the police dispatcher told him to stay in his car and not to go chase this guy that he was muttering about, saying they always get away with it. And it was clear that he was fired up and felt that he had to go out and exercise his sort of rights as a self-appointed neighborhood watch person. So we have clear evidence of how this happened, and yet that was not admissible. But yet the entire defense was a story without any evidence at all except for pictures that the police took when they got there. So am I right in being kind of deeply puzzled about this?
Well, Ian, you're right, except I have to respectfully disagree on one point about the lack of evidence. There is no question that Zimmerman was injured. There was no question that his head went against the concrete. You could see the blood. The injuries were well documented. Dr. DeMaio, who testified, who was a spectacular witness for the defense, made clear that these injuries were real, that they were legitimate. And so something happened, we don't know really what happened. And there I agree with you. We don't know what started it, how it started, and who did what, other than that Zimmerman was injured. Now, a lot of people might say, listen, Zimmerman was armed, and the injuries he got certainly were not indicative of deadly force. Others would say, no, come on, your head smashed against concrete, that's deadly force, and if you have a gun, you have a right to use it at that point. I also want to point out one other thing. Although there's a lot of publicity and a lot of commentators are using the stand your ground as the basis for criticism, this really is a basic self-defense case. In every regard, except no duty to retreat. I thought the prosecutor made a brilliant comment when he said, this is not about stand your ground, this is about stay in your car. I thought that was classic, it was excellent, and I really thought the prosecution might have pulled out a manslaughter conviction. It didn't happen. I just want to say one more thing. You could tell the prosecution was desperate, Ian, because when they asked for a third-degree murder instruction based on child abuse without any prior notice to the defense, it told me they realized they were on a sinking ship and they were desperate to get the jury to compromise. To my way of thinking, if someone's charged with second-degree murder, that's it. You're either guilty or not guilty of second-degree murder. The prosecution shouldn't have a chance to get whatever lesser-included offenses they can get. And by the way, it's interesting to note that a conviction of second-degree murder in Florida carries with it a penalty up to life. A conviction of manslaughter with a firearm carries a sentence of up to 30 years. So my concern is that the jurors might have compromised on manslaughter, thinking, gee, it's not nearly as serious, he won't get nearly as much time, and of course that's not the case. And jurors are not told the penalties in federal court and in most states. So that you know, that's a concern that I have as a defense lawyer and just as a person. I mean, the jurors easily could have said, let's go for manslaughter here, and then Zimmerman could have gotten 30 years.
Well, but when you were saying earlier, Jeffrey Weiner, that that Zimmerman's face was smashed on the cement, we don't know that, though, do we? I mean, that's his version, right?
Well, what else could it be? I mean, after it happened, he, you know, hit him. He caused the injuries to himself.
Well, you were right in saying that the defense medical examiner gave a great performance, particularly compared to the prosecution's guy, right?
No question about it. Dr. DiMaio is a pro. He was spectacular. He was untouched on cross-examination, and the prosecutor's expert was horrible. So going back to what you suggested earlier, you said, I don't want to say the prosecutors blew it, but, well, that was a prime example. Many of their witnesses were not properly prepared or were not good witnesses for the prosecution. And I think the prosecutors themselves, through their case, raised a reasonable doubt. So I don't fault the jurors at all. I think they followed their oaths, they did what they thought was right, and that's what we should expect and demand of jurors.
Well, just in closing, though, Jeff Weiner, in terms of this law, the Stand Your Ground, or originally called the Castle Doctrine, that a man's home is his castle and he's supposed to protect it. And again, that gives you the notion that the victim of an assault or a crime is the one that you're protecting, not the perpetrator or the aggressor in this case.
Right. You're right.
But apparently it's written in such a way that the Trayvon Martin family, if they go after a extra settlement, as happened here in Los Angeles with the O.J. Simpson second bite at the apple, if they lose, they have to pay, under the law, they have to pay all the costs, don't they?
Well, in Florida, this is, in my opinion, it will never become a civil suit that will go anywhere because under Florida law, if Stand Your Ground is successful, and clearly it was argued, the jury agreed with it, then there is immunity granted to avoid lengthy and expensive civil litigation. So I think a civil lawsuit will probably end up being dismissed shortly after it's filed as a result of this verdict.
Well, Jeffrey Weiner, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure. Your questions are great, and I really had a very interesting and enjoyable time talking with you.
Well, thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Jeffrey Weiner, who is a prominent Florida criminal defense lawyer and the former president of the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and the former president of the Florida Criminal Defense Attorneys Association. He's also a former chairman of the Miami-Dade County Bar Association Criminal Courts Committee and the Academy of Florida Trial Lawyers Criminal Law Section. Jeff Weiner also co-authored the 2010 Federal Criminal Rules and Codes Plus, an important reference source for attorneys and judges throughout the United States. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Harry Reid's threat to change the filibuster rules tomorrow.
All the families and the students all confused and hardy, weeping through each other's arms. It's murder. New absence in the mother's arms. Even the warmth of a mother's arms could not keep a son from harm. Standing where the gun was drawn, overcome, done and done, he gone.
Murder.
Shell shell like a bell and run the blood burst, body temperature fell and plunged, and in the time it took the medics to come, the breath eased out of his lungs.